mothers.
And others.
Popular music and parody.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Your hosts are Liz, hello, and Shelley.
Hi, that's me.
And we're industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Our guests for this week are two musicians, country music star Felicity Urquhart and folk blues musician Josh Cunningham from The Waifs. Separately, they are accomplished and award-winning musicians with extensive musical lives, but together they now have a lovely harmony-rich duet album, The Song Club, which is out now by ABC Music Universal. This baby arose from lockdown in 2020 as part of an initiative where artists were invited to a creative collective that challenged members to write one song a week. The outcome was a lifeline to creative work during the crisis. They played all the instruments and did all the production themselves from Urquhart's home studio on the New South Wales Central Coast, creating enough good tunes to make a whole new release. We are thrilled to have you here. Welcome, Felicity and Josh.
Oh, how lovely. Thanks, ladies.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for making time for us. Hey, before we start off, would you mind just explaining where you each see yourselves in the music industry? And I know that you've both had really long and extensive careers separately as well as now together. I don't mind who goes first, and I really don't mind where you want to start, but do you mind just giving us a bit of a music industry bio?
Well, me, Josh Cunningham, I left home as a 18-year-old seeking to run away from the reality that I had to go to university and become an economist. And I thought I would run away. Yeah, I got into an economics degree in at Wollongong many, many years ago now. And I was encouraged to go that way, discouraged to follow my passion, which was music. And, you know, in the middle ground, I guess, with the people that were advising me was go off, run away, have a year, get music out of your system, then come back and be responsible. During that year, I met Donna and Vicky Simpson, and we started a band called The Waifs, which is now approaching our 30th year. And that's been an amazing ride. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we've had success of varying different descriptions over the years. You know, we thought we were really successful because we could travel around the country, play music, make a living and have a lot of fun. And then in the early 2000s, we got a manager and he had a bigger picture of what success might be. So he kind of got us out there a bit more. The band eventually won some ARIA awards and had some, you know, decent album sales and a bit of radio play. So we kind of cracked it into a bit of a wider awareness of who the band was. But, yeah, all along the journey, we've always felt like success was something that we enjoyed just because we loved what we did and we still love what we do. But as the years have ticked by, people have had children, and so the mothers in The Waifs are, you know, looking after their babies a lot of the time, and gives me a bit of time to do other projects, and it's been wonderful to connect with Felicity. And we're doing some music together now, which is a real highlight of my career to date.
Amazing. And you're not missing the economics. I assume you're doing the economics on the side there. Is that
what's happening? Night schooling, Liz. He's doing it at night, I reckon.
No, thankfully I was saved from going down that path. Not that I have anything against people that do economics. I don't even know what that entails. I don't know what I would be doing if I'd done economics, but it certainly wouldn't be as fun as what I chose to do.
Oh, well, you know, economics loss is our gain, Josh. We're really lucky. What about you, Felicity?
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, I grew up in Tamworth, born and raised in country music capital, and I was one of the few, a handful of kids that actually loved country music and wanted to be in the industry somehow. I was fascinated by the musicians always lining up for autographs of the banjo pickers, the guitar pickers and pedal steel players and bass players and drummers. And I loved the Slim Dusties too, don't get me wrong, but I always just glued myself I'd go down front of stage. Mum and Dad would always, you know, keep an eye on my sister and I, but then I'd line up for those autographs. So I always fancied a hot picker. And then I started busking when I was about 11 And through that, I ended up getting support locally. A record company signed me when I was about 15, gave me that first taste in a studio. Then I moved on as I grew up a bit. EMI Records gave me a deal, and then moved to Shock Records deal. And after that, oh, goodness me, I'm with ABC. So there's been, yeah, many waves in twists and turns in my career as well. All I ever wanted to be was another Dolly Parton with an Australian accent, really. And it's been interesting how through music and coming from Tamworth, other doors have opened. I've always said yes to things. I've experienced a career in radio for 11 years, worked for the ABC, and just hung the headphones up at Christmas time because I wanted to sink my teeth into more creativity back into music and planning this project with Josh. And through last year, juggling all the balls, homeschooling, doing radio and writing for Song Club, it was just kind of like, okay, this is what's my head doing? Who am I? What day of the week? So it was a challenging year last year for many different reasons, but to come out with a bag of songs and then an idea to do shows together, first of all, then we thought, well, if we're going to do some gigs, we should have some music. So that's a bit of a snapshot of my career. I also work for a TV show called Sydney Weekender with a bunch of different presenters. So I have a pretty busy dance card usually, but we're focusing on getting touring happening and this album. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, wow. I was going to ask you about broadcasting too, because that, you know, you jump on both sides there. Do you find that hard to put one hat on, like to be the interviewer or the interviewee? How do you find that?
I find it very easy, actually, Liz. It's so nice to be chatting about a project that I'm involved in. I'm really, really happy to help other artists wherever I can, still do, and happy, you know, we like to have support acts and share the love and talk about new music we've heard as well, particularly through the Song Club. We've been mentioning in interviews other mates that were in the original Song Club that gave us the idea, and one of those is Shane Nicholson. His current single was another baby born in Song Club, and we saw the baby first.
How did Song Club come about? Do you mind just telling me, like, was it an informal thing? We were trying to work it out.
Yeah, did you get like a golden invitation in the mail that you opened, the doves flew out of it and then the butterflies appeared?
I like that.
Yeah, it was just like that. actually, I was stopping in to visit Felicity and we were having a cup of tea, and I think there was a banjo involved and a guitar, and then a friend of hers, Sam Hawksley, who's an Aussie who lives in Nashville at the moment, he is a member of a song club over there. There's some local people that got one going there, and he decided, well, it would be fun to make an Aussie one as well. So I happened to be, depending on your point of view, I was either in the wrong or the right place at the wrong or the right time. So he just said, we're getting this song club thing going for Aussies. Do you guys want to? He was going to ask Felicity, and I happened to be there. So I got the invitation by default. And, yeah, so it sounded like a challenge. It sounded like a crazy thing to do. It sounded terrifying, to be perfectly honest, because I've never written music that way with a deadline and having to really, you know, here's your topic, here's the deadline, yeah, go for it. It just, for me, it's always inspiration comes somewhere magically out of the sky, and when it does, a song appears. So, yeah, I thought, well, push yourself into new areas and you'll grow and you'll learn. And so I took the plunge, and it proved to be a really amazing experience, and it did wonders for my, you know, whole process of songwriting.
Do you think it was all done in lockdown too? Is that right?
Yeah, it was. Although, I mean, the original song club that had been going for a while that Sam was a member of was pre-COVID. So that was one of the great spin-offs of it, was that through that difficult period where we're all very isolated, you know, we had a creative outlet, and we also had a community, even though it was all done over email. I still felt very connected to the other members, you know, because we all knew exactly what we were going through. We're all sharing the stress together.
So it started around the end of January.
Yeah.
So we did have the taste of normality. And I remember, I think I had arrived in Brisbane, some flight for some gigs north, and thought, I've got to get my song in quick. And I was on the plane trying to finish song for Song Club. And that's what the year was starting out, like, you know, tour dates and festival appearances. And then that rug was pulled out from underneath all of our feet. So it gave us a nice creative outlet, even though it was very stressful. And it was an individual right. You couldn't call up a mate and say, help me out with this. So that was pretty challenging as well.
Yeah, wow. It's not quite like Fight Club. We can talk about it, though. Yeah, so that's good. We'll take
that. Hi, I'm Felicity Urquhart.
And I'm Josh Cunningham.
You're listening to Shelley and Liz on Music,
Mothers
and Others.
Now, Felicity, I've read that your daughter was bringing you and Josh some lunch when you were recording this album at home, yes. Which sounds delightful. I would like my five-year-old to bring me some kind of lunch. It will probably be M&Ms or something. But anyway, so I was thinking about this, and I bet that you, as a musical mother, have really created some amazing musical memories for her during her childhood. Did you want to share some of that experience?
That's really lovely. Well, they create more of the musical special moments for us. It's been just great seeing the kids. I've got two daughters, so they're 10 and 8 now, both just had birthdays recently, and have also been very much aware of what the song club was about, because they'd see the stress levels. Oh, you've got another song in. What is it this week? What's the prompt, Mum? And then I'd play it and they'd add their 2 cents worth in. Oh, that's a good chorus. I go, okay, I'm sending it. Okay. Sometimes you might hear them in the background singing along. Actually, there was a couple of weeks where they were chiming in, and then that got more of a response from everybody too. So it was interesting how the girls were, you know, involved in it. And then Tia, who was 10, said, Mum, can you put my name down? Tell Sam I want to be in song club as well when someone drops out. So the girls are both writing songs already, very sweetly wrote birthday songs for each other through the year, and Josh has written birthday songs for the kids. It's really lovely to see that music is very much a part of their lives. They think it's okay to tell the teachers they can come on the road with us because they know we're a musical family. They're fine, Mum. So it's and they're both playing instruments. Tia has been playing violin for about 4 years. They've been busking in Tamworth for 4 years. Ellie plays ukulele, the canjo and piano. And, yeah, I'm a bit chuffed and a bit proud of that too.
Oh, that's so good. Can I join your family? Because this sounds like an amazing musical family. It must be so fun for them to be doing all of that. That sounds so good. That's probably a good opportunity for both of you to reflect on some musical memories of your own childhoods. Josh, did you want to tell us about any song that's really resonated with you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, my introduction to music was obviously, I mean, I grew up in a church family, so obviously there was hymns in church and I didn't really resonate with a lot of that music. But my family all decided they wanted to learn the guitar. We were living in New Zealand at the time and I was about 7 years old, and they decided that they wanted to learn the guitar. I was too small for a guitar, so they got me a ukulele to make me feel like I was part of it. It was just a toy. It wasn't really a serious instrument. And after the first week, the teacher said, no, you've got to get him a proper instrument. So he helped with that. 2 years later, we moved back to Australia and he got my dad aside and he said, look, I don't care if anybody in your family never plays the guitar again, but that young fella, keep him up with the ukulele because he's got something.
Love it. So good.
We came back to Australia and there was no ukulele teacher where I moved to. So eventually I just kind of let it slide. And it wasn't until I was 13 and I was at my friend's birthday party sleepover, and one of the things that we did was watch some videos. One of them was Back to the Future. And the song Johnny Be Good, I don't know if you're familiar with the scene where...
Oh, of course.
Michael J. Fox plays Johnny Be Good at the high school prom, and I just watched...
Under the Sea, yeah.
Yeah, the sound of that, the vision, I just thought that's what I want to do with my life, and I knew right then that music was going to be the thing. So my family still had the old guitar from the lessons, you know, years earlier, and I dusted that off and picked it up and started teaching myself and got into a band very soon after that, and I was away. So Johnny Be Good would be the song that really changed my world.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And the fact that it's also like a 1950s song being reimagined in the 1980s and then influencing you to become also a musician now. Like, yeah. I love the legacy of that song, Johnny Be Good.
Oh, it's an amazing tune. Yeah, it's a great song. And I guess, you know, it's probably borrowed from, well, it's obviously borrowed from music from decades prior to it too. You know, it's just the beautiful way that music evolves and keeps coming back, and, you know, still the roots of it all are still so relevant. you know, whether you realize, you know, like for singer-songwriters, they might not realize they're being influenced by Bob Dylan, who's influenced by Woody Guthrie, who's influenced by whoever beforehand. Mm. You don't know how far back those roots go, but it all just keeps on evolving and spreading.
So now that you're both, you've had these life experiences and you've, you know, life has had to work around music, or music has worked around life for you, it seems to be like they've kind of grown around each other. Is there anything that you've found together or separately about what compromises you've had to make family life still work? Because we know lots of people have to put one or the other on hold, or it's a constant kind of juggle. How have you found it, and do you have any hot tips, any advice?
Well, Josh is pretty, I say he's lucky, because we've welcomed Josh into our lives. So he's landed in a very girly world. Thank goodness he was used to touring with Donna and Vicky, so he knew what girls can be like, because me and the two girls, my daughters, we're very much were open arms when Josh came into our worlds. I mean, I knew Josh through bumping into each other at festivals around the country, and but through Song Club and prior events. I actually lost my husband 2 years ago, tragically, to suicide, and the Waste reached out, as a lot of my friends in the music industry did, and this army of love was there, and it was really wonderful to have them sing for us on a couple of their WA shows and reach out. So that meant a great deal. And then we connected and caught up at a couple of the first shows that I got back, my wheels back rolling again, and it was just a really natural mates catching up situation where I said, come up and have a cup of tea when you're passing through the Central Coast, and we could write a song. And that's really how we got to know each other, more than just mates at a festival and g'days. And the girls are like, oh, another musician popping in, writing songs. And then Josh bought his dog Wilson. They're like, oh, he's got a dog. And then Josh was coming back, another cup of tea. And it was really just something that happened so beautifully. And for us, family and music has always worked together. I mean, I had some time out when I had my daughters, and my parents have always jumped in to help when I would disappear for a day for a TV shoot or a voiceover or a session. And my mum was marvelous in saying, you be yourself. It's really important as a woman to be, continue on as the person you were before you had children. They come along for the ride. It doesn't change who you are, doesn't make you lose any of that side of who makes you, or what makes you tick. So my mum was most incredible with that. We've got the kids, it's fine, you go and do what you need to do. And thank goodness they're still allowing me to do that, and they come and help us out. Although they came with us for the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, the whole extended family's been along for the ride this last weekend. Yeah, I really marvel at the way Fliss, it doesn't seem like juggling, because it seems so smooth and effortless, the way that the children's lives are incorporated into what she does. And it's not just tagging along and you just sit there and, you know, occupy yourself while I do my thing. They're very much involved. You know, as she mentioned, they play music, and they're very excited to be at gigs. They like to help out with the merch, and, you know, they love being backstage and hanging out. And the whole event of doing a live show has a real magic to them. I mean, it has that for me. Mm. And it's just lovely to see these little humans just getting captivated by that as well. And I really have a lot of admiration and respect for the way that Fliss has managed to merge those two worlds together so beautifully. You know, even in my own experience with the Waifs, like when Donna and Vicky had their children, some of the happiest memories I have is when they're all little boys. Like Fliss has got two girls, Donna's got three boys, Vicky's got three boys, and there was a time when, you know, they were all on the road as little toddlers, and it was just so much fun. And the kids just loved it, and it made it a joy for us as well. So if ever you can incorporate those two things together, I think children and music are a really good fit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And that says so much too about you, Josh, because I guess we assume as mums sometimes, we've talked about this before too, that you get a bit nervous that other people are not going to want your kids in the way. But we need the village, people like you, to say, no, actually, I'm a human, and kids are human and they're part of humanity and aren't they fun and all that kind of stuff. So it all feeds in. You've got to have somebody who's willing to pick up the ball as well. And I'm sure you've done your fair share of, you know, well, maybe not nappy changes. Well, I ain't 10 anymore, but
he has. Yeah, I've done a bit of that with the little waifs boys. Thankfully, Fliss's girls are they'd pass that by the time I came along.
I love that.
We're listening to music mothers
and others.
I don't think we've had anybody really from that country music world, folk music world, blues music world. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be really keen to hear from you guys, Felicity and Josh, what kinds of when you do your performances maybe together or even in your, you know, your separate projects, what is that actually like to, in the audience? Is there families there all the time? Are there kids there? Are you thinking about, you know, what time your show is actually on? Like, how do you make your performance, your live performance, cater for kids? Or maybe you don't. I don't know. Tell us about that kind of, yeah, that sort of music genre that we haven't really had that much experience hearing about from our past guests.
It's really easy in country music. It's family, always families at festivals. There's just the odd show that may have an age limit, but usually there's kids' ticket prices. We're all in, all ages. So that's just, I'll say, 9 times out of 10. And unless you're going out for, the party night, we'll start at, you know, a later session. But it's really great, and I think that's why I gravitated towards it as well. There was music that kids could understand and songs about where you come from and music that was played on car trips and you'd sing along. So, and that's another thing why it's really important that the kids are involved and I hand them instruments, or if they want to touch one, you don't keep it away in a case. You say, yeah, play it. I urge people to get those guitars out from under their beds and let kids experiment. Let them hear what a string sounds like plucked, or a piano, put a chord on it, or whatever. Just let music ring out. It's going to sound shabby. They're not going to be amazing, first of all. We weren't. Goodness me. You, Josh?
Yeah, I think one thing that always struck me was the cross-generational appeal, I guess, of the waifs. You know, at our shows, yeah. We started when we were 18 and, you know, it was all very young and exciting. And as things evolved, you know, people that were following us from that time that were maybe our peers, you know, in terms of our age, they just kept coming along for the ride. And eventually, you know, they got married, they had kids. Like many people met at waifs concerts, met their partners, you know, they had children. And it used to be a real thrill to hear a person come along and say, hey, my mum and dad got me into this music. Like, I grew up listening to your songs. Well, now it's gotten to the point where we're getting grandchildren come along saying, my grandparents started it all off.
I think they're telling porkies, we can't be that old, Josh. No. As someone that was seeing you way back in the day, we're not that old. They're telling lies.
We are, and it's getting worse every day too. We're getting older. But it's really lovely to look, especially at a festival or an event like that, where you look down and you'll see everything from, yeah, the grandparents, you know, like elderly people there, and then there's little kids, like real little kids leaning over, just wide-eyed looking up and just absorbing everything. And it's a really lovely thing to see that whole spread. And, you know, I think encouraging kids, as Liz says, to get into music, be it just enjoying a gig or picking up an instrument, it's a really important thing, because music makes the world a better place. It's such an important thing, and getting kids into it, that's the future, isn't it?
100%. I mean, that ties on nicely to what we normally ask our guests, which is what, to finish the sentence, the kids and I are listening to, which is generally, well, look, it's not quite indoctrination, although maybe it is what you're listening to with the little people in your lives. And it doesn't have to be Wiggles, although it can be. Often it's, we find that it's just what turns us on, you know, and we sort of go along with the ride, although sometimes it goes the other way around and kids introduce us to other things. So do you mind telling us what's happening on the family stereo there and who's leading it? What are the kids and you listening to?
Well, currently in the car, it's Bob Corbett and the Bob Corbett Band. He's had a couple of names, the Rugrass Band. He's from Newcastle, and the kids just love playing Bob. It's been there's 3 albums. So it goes Bob Corbett, goes Brad Butcher, who's a mate from Queensland, up in Rocky, and he's amazing. And I've toured a lot with Brad. And then there's the Waifs. So... there are the 3 albums that get a serious workout. They don't play Mummy.
Well, they do actually. When you're not in the car, they do. Yeah. I remember taking Tia back from her violin lesson, and we were playing your album, and you know it was so much fun. We were both singing along at the top of our lungs, and I mean Tia obviously knows every word, as did I. But yeah, they do idolise you. They love your music.
Well, that's cute.
But the music that has been getting a lot of a spin lately is our new record, because you know we've been listening to it so much, and I think you know they know all the words. They seem pretty excited about that initially, but now they got to the point where it's like, yep.
Moving on. Something else now.
That's, well, I mean, that's always interesting, isn't it, when you've got, you know, somebody else, like mum and dad's music or mum's, you know, how invested and do you think they're engaging? I mean, of course they're engaging it because it's great. But do you think they've got that sense of ownership about it too, because they know they heard the little germs of the babies and then they saw them grow and get born? Do you think that's part of, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, especially Tia, the eldest, she can sit in the studio and fire up all the machines and do a multi-track recording and bounce it down, play everything on
it. Of herself.
So she's just grown up seeing that.
Wow.
And she can totally do it. So I think that's a real fascinating thing for her, which she really loves.
And she asked whether she could go into the studio and work. And one of the things was, I want to learn how to do it like Dad did. And I said, yes, darling, as soon as I learn how to do it, you can have the chair. So as soon as I knew my way around, because that wasn't my area, so there was a lot of learning that and a lot of anger that fired me to be capable and do this and do it for my girls and for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't stop my life. I have to succeed here with this for my girls. And got in there, and then I remember saying, Tia, this is how it is. These are the files here, and showing her what to hit and what to open and what to plug in and turn on. She's incredible. She takes a lot of pride in that. When we were recording the album, she would say, are you guys going to be finished later so I could hop in the studio because I want to work on a song or something? So it's like, oh, well, we've got a bit more work to do on the album, so we might have to wait a couple of days.
Well, look, thank you so much for your time. We're just mindful of, you know, not imposing too far.
Great.
Awesome.
Album out now. Thank you.
Yep, beautiful.
Music, Mothers and Others is written and produced by Liz Dufray and Shelley Brunt and edited by Nina Longfellow. We're broadcast on 2SER and across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. Visit us on Instagram and Facebook to find out who our upcoming guests will be. See you next time.